Pickaxe.
Hello and welcome to the Yogpod. This is a podcast that we do from time to time. Do you remember this, Simon?
What? Whoa! Whoa, what's going on?
I know.
What's this?
It's weird.
What's this all about? Why are we doing a podcast all of a sudden?
Well,
I thought we stopped doing these once we started earning money.
Well, that's true. But I thought we'd bring it back because the people really like it and people are going off for Christmas.
Bring it on back to you. Sorry, just quoting S Club 7.
People are going off for Christmas and they're sitting in a car to their nan's house and they're tired and they look on their iPhone and there's nothing good on there. There's no good podcasts out there.
No.
And they look longingly at the Yogpod and they think, oh, I wish there was a new Yogpod. And there is. Anyway, what I thought we could do is talk a little bit about Christmas, a little bit about what we've been up to, and then go through some of the awesome fan mail that we've had building up over the past few months.
The fan mail, it hasn't been looked at. It's a bit like when you walk past a house, right, in a residential area, and you notice there's all these milk bottles and papers piled up on the doorstep. That's basically Yog Towers. We have all of this fan mail just piled up in front of the house.
And there's a rusty old car in the front garden. And it's got like several things under the windscreen wipers, several like pamphlets and leaflets.
There's probably one of those dogs that lives in the car, uses it as a kennel. So it's probably got a door missing, for starters.
Yeah.
And the dog just sleeps in there. And people don't know. So when people like walk up to the house, to the front door, to knock on the door, or deliver mail or a package or whatever, they don't realise there's a dog in the car. And every single time they walk by, dog barks at them and they go falling backwards into a hedge. And wait, that's Hyacinth Bouquet out of that sitcom.
Oh, goodness. Yes.
Did you ever watch that?
Oh, my God. Keeping Up Appearances. It'll be on over Christmas.
Yes.
If you're in America, you're not going to be able to see that.
Her surname is spelled Bucket. But she is so, you know, posh and upper class that she makes people pronounce it bouquet, even though it's spelled bucket.
So, Christmas, right? You're going off to your family, I'm going off to my family. I thought we could share a few Christmassy tales.
Well, Lewis, it was Christmas Eve. I was 9 years old. Me and Mom were decorating the tree, waiting for Dad to come home from work. A couple of hours went by. Dad wasn't home. So Mom called the office. No answer. Christmas Day came and went, still nothing. So the police began a search. 4 or 5 days went by. Neither one of us could eat or sleep. Everything was falling apart. It was snowing outside. The house was freezing, so I went to try and light up the fire. That's when I noticed the smell. The firemen came and broke through the chimney top, and me and Mom were expecting them to pull out a dead cat or a bird, and instead, they pulled out my father. He was dressed in a Santa Claus suit. He'd been climbing down the chimney, his arms loaded with presents. He was going to surprise us. He slipped and broke his neck. He died instantly. And that's how I found out there was no Santa Claus. Didn't really happen. That's a quote from the movie Gremlins that I've done there.
Gremlins?
yeah, Gremlins. It's a brilliant movie. It's a very Christmassy movie.
It's probably
Lewis.
On over Christmas.
I like putting it on over Christmas, having a good laugh at all the japes. Maybe not that story so much. That's more of a darker part of the movie.
Let's just do a load of fan mail. So this one is from Garrett Littrop. He says, "Hello, Yogscast. I was wondering if you could answer this scenario for me. Okay? You were taking a dump and fell inside the toilet and then something happened where you died. What would you do?"
So there we go. That is why me and Lewis don't read the fan mail. This is why we have Hannah do it.
Okay.
Right there.
Okay, well, the Thomas R. Blaster writes in. He says, "I have a question that you can answer. Today at school, I noticed during chemistry that O underscore two was oxygen, but O underscore three is ozone. So I asked my teacher, if people keep winning on about gap in ozone layer, why don't they just convert oxygen into ozone and U it to fill gap? There you go, Simon.
Well, there we go. That's we could solve all of the world's problems if we just asked uninformed people what we should do, because they clearly have all of the answers. There's a certain creativity that comes when your brain isn't tied down with anything like, you know, any form of knowledge or awareness of the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've heard of that podcast.
A yognaut called Tyler Crompton has written in to say that not in a gay, homoerotic way or anything, but rather in a cool, bromantic way, me and my brother have got tattoos of your Minecraft characters on our shoulders. My brother has Honeydew, what? And I have Zephos, so yeah.
Do we have any photographic evidence to back up these wild claims?
We do, yes.
What? This can't be real. Mine's quite good. I like that.
It is on a beardy man.
Oh my god, that's his beard. Wow. Oh my god. And you have the, I'm guessing, younger brother.
I don't know why you would say that.
The one who drew the short straw. Oh, they're in the Air Force Academy.
Cadet Third Class. Tyler H. Crompton. This was sent a couple of months ago, so he might be like a captain by now. I don't know how quickly you got the ranks. Captain Crompton.
Not that quick. How do you explain to the other... I mean, in the army, in the Air Force, the guys see each other, like, undressed all the time, right? I've seen Top Gun.
Okay.
And so when you're playing volleyball, right, on the beach, how do you explain the tattoo? People go, what's that? What's a honeydew? And you're like, it's, right, there's this English guy, and he voices a character in a series of video game machinimas based around this. There's this video game called Minecraft. There's a man named Notch in Sweden, and he made this. How do you explain all of that without sounding really, really weird?
And crazy. I don't know, I think more people would recognise it, though, now. I mean, crikey. We've had so many people emailing us saying they've met random yognauts all over the place. Originally when we proposed this idea, it sounded ridiculous to us, because I didn't think anyone would ever meet another yognaut in the world, right? But now, it's actually happening.
We did think it was preposterous, didn't we?
Yeah.
We thought it was absolutely ridiculous that one person would meet another yognaut and they would go, you know, I'm Dave !! Yognaut and all that. It just seemed so ridiculous and unlikely. We didn't believe any of the stories people were sending in. They're like, yeah, I met a yognaut on the train, or, you know, on a bus, or on a plane, or in the car sitting next to me. It's my brother. our parents were driving us to the zoo. But I didn't think this would happen. And it's happening all the time. It's scary.
Another good example is that Tina Barrett and Warwick Davis, we chose originally because they were very, like, unknown. Well, not very, that kind of D-list celebrities. People know who they are, but don't really, you know, they're not famous.
People in England.
Yeah.
I think this is quite specific. Yeah. People in England who are of a certain age would have known them, right? And I was somewhat aware that a lot of people who watched us were younger than that and in different countries. So it made it even more obscure.
Yeah.
And that's why I found it funny that the fact that Warwick Davis to me was, he's always been this big star to me. And I know that he's not even that famous, or he wasn't. His profile's gone up an awful lot now that, you know, he's in this sitcom and everything. But, you know, I, I I picked these obscure people. Tina Barrett. S Club 7, they split up, they stopped touring, and now S Club 7 have reformed. Tina's like been emailing us saying, "I love the Yogs cast. You're amazing.
Yeah.
We should have a drink sometime, Simon." And I'm like, "I'm too busy. I'm too busy making videos for kids on the internet. I can't meet you, Tina Barrett."
Exactly. I mean, it's insane. I wasn't paying attention then because I was looking at this thing that someone sent in. Apparently, on Life's Too Short, the new Warwick Davis thing that he's doing with Ricky Gervais, they're talking about like what you get when you Google Warwick Davis. And apparently, you know, one of the top results is he just dismisses in the show as a couple of prats. So I don't know if that's actually a reference to us.
Oh my God! Does he think we're prats? No, surely not.
Well, we did meet him, didn't we, remember?
We did meet him.
And we were...
And, well, I certainly was a bit of a prat.
Yeah.
Inadvertently, though, you can listen to that on, what was it? Yogpod 33A or something.
Ho, 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 ho! Merry Christmas!
This one is from a Tired Dude 13. He says, "Believe it or not, but the Yogscast got me a date. There is a smart and beautiful girl who sits near me in class, but being socially awkward, I didn't know how to approach her. I was answering her, one of her questions in AP Chem when I muttered a reference to Simon's Diggy Diggy Hole song. She gave me the Yog salute and said, 'I am Dave Yognaut.' And then... for the rest of the class, we talked about games, the Yogscast, and other nonsense.
Ah.
10 weeks or so later, fast forward, and I have worked up the nerve to ask her to the winter formal ball. She accepted." Ah. So
the what?
It's like a formal
the
ball.
The winter formal ball?
Yes. It's kind of like a...
Oh, my God.
So there you go. Keep us... Tell us... Thank you, Scotty, if that's your name. And fill us in on how that's going. That's nice. Isn't that nice?
Yeah, if there's a wedding or any children, just let us know. Maybe you want to call the kids Simon and Lewis. Lewis, it can work as a girl's name as well as a boy's name, can't it?
This is an email from Jacob Williams. About 2 weeks ago, my dad suggested to me that I should enter a contest to win a $250 gas card. I'm not sure what that is. The contest was hosted by a local radio station, celebrating the grand opening of a brand new gas station right outside my house. Okay. When I arrived, I found the contest, no joke, was to guess the weight of a cow that was tied to a pole at the gas station. I guess this is because the gas station features a store that is part of a large chain called High Dairy Store. High's Dairy Store. Okay. So after a bit of clever thinking, I filled out a random guess and popped it in the slot. My guess was £763. I have no experience with cows and frankly didn't want to have any. I drove home without thinking about it, not expecting to win anything. He drove home? Oh, of course he drove home. It's right next door to his house in America, but he drove home. About 2 days later, an unknown number calls me on my cell phone. He says, "Hello, is this Jacob Williams?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Did you know that you are an excellent cow weight guesser?" He said, "No." And he said, "Well, you are.
Oh, my goodness.
You've won a $250 gas card. You could pick the card up tomorrow." So he won. So there you go. That's his story.
That's amazing.
He's attached a picture of the $250 gas card that he won. There you go.
There's a bit of fan fiction that someone's been writing, and I've got sort of an excerpt. I shared it with Total Biscuit.
Okay.
A few days ago, but I didn't sort of tell you about it.
Okay. You thought you'd save it for this. It's a good idea.
Good idea, mate. For a moment, Honeydew sat there staring at the spaceman. He couldn't begin to describe what he felt in that moment. Here he was, at the side of his best friend and most trusted companion, who he had pretty much abandoned during the stronghold. This was like a previous event in the story, okay? Reassuring him that everything was fine and it wasn't his fault. In a sudden rush of relief, he caught Zephos in his arms, burying his face into the crook of his neck forgetting about the tears he was supposed to be holding back. The spaceman slowly rested his own arms on his friend's broad shoulders, sighing lightly and sinking into his chest.
Ah, this is what happens on a sort
of... beautiful moment.
It happens all the time, man. It happens all the time in real life. It's... There's nothing gay about it or anything. Nothing like...
No! No!
Okay, here's a weird one. This is from Dan and Josh Compton. Greetings, Yogmasters. I was 11 years old and travelling to Menorca. Right? Now, he could mean Menorca or Mallorca, one of the two islands. One of those two.
But it's combined both of those into this weird sort of...
Menorca.
Mashed up
Which
word.
Sounds like right, a kind okay. of half man, half orca. Kind of like a whale yeah. creature.
It's like a fucked up mermaid,
yeah.
isn't it?
So, anyway, he was... This is a weird story, but it was my first time ever on a plane, and after about 5 minutes in flight, I began to feel sick. I held it in for as long as I could, but an hour later, I could do so no longer.
Oh, God.
I reached for one of the little sick bags in the back of the seat, but alas, it was too late. Mm-hmm. I vomited, and it splattered everywhere over the back of my seat and onto the legs of the man behind me.
Oh, that's lovely.
He was a very tall man. The man behind was none other than multi-billionaire Richard Branson, who was travelling on economy class as a publicity stunt. Yorknaught and proud. So, okay. So, this guy threw up on Richard Branson.
Citation needed.
What? I reckon that's true.
Really? Are you sure about this?
He was going to Menorca. He threw up on Richard Branson. There's nothing wrong with that.
He was going to a place that doesn't exist,
yep.
first of all.
Yep.
Right, red flag there immediately.
Yeah.
Ho, 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 ho. Merry Christmas.
So this one's from Brian O'Rourke. It's another little story that he sent in. I have a story for you. I was once out on a date with my girlfriend going to the worst film I ever saw. In brackets, romantic
Twilight.
Comedy. Close brackets.
Oh.
So it could have been Twilight, yes. Probably was. I bought a bag of candy and entered the theatre. It was a double date, so my friend was also there. In the middle of the movie, I asked my girlfriend if she would like some candy. She said, of course, yes, and I attempted to open the bag. However, the bag was rather tough. We've all been there.
Oh,
We've all
course.
Been there. And yeah. I didn't want to look weak in front of my girlfriend, so I tugged as hard as I could.
Yeah.
I realised my...
What happened, Lewis? What happened?
I realised my mistake too late as I watched hundreds of Sour Patch Kids spray all over myself, my girlfriend, and all of the people in front of
yeah.
me.
Girlfriend.
My friend broke out in a fit of laughter, as did my girlfriend, which had... That did little to help. It was the most embarrassing moment of my life. And my girlfriend broke up with me as a result.
Whoa. Okay, it was a really bad story, okay? Because, I mean, it's really uninteresting. You opened a bag of sweets and the sweets went everywhere. That's basically
That's the
story.
Entire story.
But the fact that a girl broke up with him over this. What the hell? Wow. That's crazy. Are you sure that was the reason? Are you sure it wasn't like the straw that broke the camel's back?
It sounds like it, doesn't it?
You know, everything, like everything else that you did that was horrible, that she hated, you know, none of that mattered. It was the bag of sweets that I opened really badly in the cinema.
It's funny how people always...
I had sex with her sister a few times.
Wow.
She found out about it. There was that time I ran her mother over. In the street, on purpose, and then backed up over
Whoa.
Her. There was the time I punched her younger brother in the face during the nativity play, in which he was playing the baby Jesus. But yeah, none of that mattered. It was all because I opened a bag of sweets awkwardly.
This is from Plaid. He says, "Hello, I'm writing you a couple of scary stories about creepy things that happened in my house. The first incident happened 7 years ago, so I was 15. I was up late at night playing Morrowind on the family computer when I was supposed to be in bed. Naturally, all the lights were off and I had the volume turned down low as it was a little past midnight and I had school the next morning. I'd started a new character and was in the starting town taking care of some quests when I heard something. It was a person whistling a tune. I thought it a bit strange, not able to remember if there was such a sound in the game or not. I considered that it perhaps came from my grandmother's room, as she sleeps with the television on, and her room is situated just up the stairs from where the computer is.
I thought he was going to say she suffers from sleep whistling or something.
But I knew it was impossible. Her door was closed, and I couldn't hear the TV at all. I turned the volume down almost the way to nothing, and continued playing, pushing it to the back of my mind. With the sound nearly muted, I once again heard someone whistling a tune. I thought that maybe it could be coming from the game, even though it seemed too loud to be, so I turned the speakers off entirely and sat, waiting, sweating. Sure enough, shortly after, I heard it again, whistled through the dead silence of the house. A sense of dread immediately came over me. The only way out of the room was through the foyer, where the whistling seemed to have come from. Still, I knew I had to do it, so I gathered the courage in my little 15-year-old heart, turned the computer off, and ran through the foyer and up to my bedroom. I never played Morrowind at night again. So that's it, that's the story.
Oh, Christmas tree!
Heard of that podcast?
Second story happened much more recently, around April of this year. My father was in New York for the weekend, so in the house it was just me, a friend, and my grandmother, who still suffers from sleep whistling. I was playing a video game in my room with my friend at night, when I heard what sounded like the front door opening and closing as if someone had entered. My bedroom door wasn't closed, so we both heard it pretty clearly. My room, by the way, is across the hall from my grandmother's, so it's right up the stairs from the front door, and coincidentally directly above the room where I used to play Morrowind. Anyway, I ignored this.
Okay, yeah, the Morrowind room.
Yeah. I ignored this as I knew the door was locked, and only somebody with the key could have come in. Moments later, grandma came into my room and asked if I had heard somebody enter the house. I told her that both me and my friend did hear something, but we didn't know what it was. She went back to her room and locked the door, and I reasoned to myself that the front door couldn't have opened, despite that we had heard it, because the light in the foyer usually automatically turns on when the front door is opened at night. A few hours later, me and my friend mustered the courage to do a quick sweep through the house to make sure nobody was inside, but our search came up empty. I chalked it up to just one of the several strange things that had happened in my house at night, and saw my friend out before going to bed. Well, there you go. We've not heard back from Plaid since that story.
Oh my god. Do you reckon if we turned up to that house, that there would just be like an empty lot with just like swirls of dust?
What we should do is we should like knock on the door and then run away.
Wow. And then he'll write us another email. I was sitting in my room playing a computer game when all of a sudden I heard a knock on the door. When I went downstairs to see who it was who had knocked on my door, I opened the door and there was no one there.
Oh my god. Oh, this is the scariest story I ever heard.
Well, there you go. Thank you very much for that. Goodness me.
Brilliant.
This is a letter from Alex Sconzo. Some time ago, I was a kid and was digging around in my yard just like that Yognaut was doing and like you guys were suggesting we did. I found a key, an old rustic-looking key, like they always seem to have in video games. Kind of thin, wiry looking. I kept the key my whole life until about 2 years ago, when my then girlfriend brought me to some garage sale. I feel the need to say that I live halfway across the country from my old house. So anyway, at this garage sale, there was a small chest. It was only a couple of dollars, so I brought it home because my girlfriend thought it was pretty. I figured I could try and pick the lock and give it to her as a present so she could use it for makeup or whatever women use boxes for nowadays.
Oh, God.
So we went back home.
I'm scared, Lewis.
And I told her the box I'm would scared. Be ready in a day or two. That night, in a fit of curiosity, I went digging around my attic and I found the old key that I found in my yard as a child. I ran back downstairs and tried it on the box, and lo and behold, with a click, it worked. Inside the box was this old Raggedy Ann doll. It was brown, covered in dirt and dust, and missing one of its button eyes. Also inside the box was an old bronze key, which looked almost identical to the one I used to open it with, and a couple of envelopes with blank pages inside them. Once I got over the shock of my key working and went to bed, I placed the chest on top of my wardrobe, still open, so I could easily get in and out of it if I needed to. I placed the key next to it. When I woke the next day, the chest was closed and the key was gone. My girlfriend was not staying over that night, and I have no pets that could have closed it and eaten the key. I was pretty freaked out about what happened, but I got over it after a day or two.
It's what pets like to do. They love closing boxes and eating the keys.
They do. They're notorious for it. I was pretty freaked out when it happened, but I got over it after a day or two. I couldn't pick the lock, though, like I thought I would have been able to, so now it just sits on my fireplace as a conversation starter. I thought you guys might appreciate this little story of my past. From Alex.
So that was the Christmas podcast. It wasn't terribly Christmassy. It didn't have too much of a Christmassy thing. I think the problem was that gremlin story. It just sort of took everything downhill from there.
Yeah, it twisted off after in a sort of strange direction after that and went all creepy. We didn't do a Halloween podcast, and we do like creepy sort of stuff, so hopefully we haven't freaked anyone out. Well, there you go. Not the most Christmassy podcast, but that's all for now. Hope you enjoyed it. We're going to make more of these in the new year, so until then, goodbye. Goodbye.
Sehr gut, sehr gut, sehr gut.
Sehr gut?
Wieso Steuer ist sehr gut? Das sagen ganz viele.
Cool, wer sagt das?
Stiftung Warentest, Computerbild, Focus Money, Chip, Finanztipp, such dir was aus.
Mega, aber das ist doch bestimmt kompliziert.
Nö, einfach Foto von der Lohnsteuerbescheinigung machen und fertig.
Klingt sehr gut.
Ist sehr gut. Hol dir dein Geld zurück mit Wieso Steuer?